of Health with Carrie Nosler, brought to you by Sunrise Natural Foods. Talk 650 KSTE. Here's Carrie Nosler.
Howdy, my friends. Welcome to the wide world of health. Carrie Nosler here. Thanking you so much for joining us today. And, of course, another opportunity to gain a lot of knowledge about the whole health issue, about many, many issues involving health. And today, of course, no exception. Couple of very interesting hours ahead for us. First hour of the program, we're going to be revisiting an old friend from the wide world of health. Perry Arledge is going to be talking about some of the interesting aspects of clay as a living organism. You may never have thought of clay in that regard, but it has several unique properties, many unique properties that Perry will be sharing with us today. And actually, my interest in having Perry on again was piqued by a news article that was around not too long ago, which I'll discuss shortly, about the oldest fossils ever found and how they weren't found in the ocean but actually in lakes. So that one's kind of interesting. And, well, anyway, I'll explain in just a bit. Second hour of the program, we're going to be talking to a university researcher who has put together a very interesting analysis of data that shows how we can improve the average lifespan or get up to our maximum lifespan and perhaps even add a couple of decades to that. For those of us who are doing healthy things, trying to eat right, exercising, doing all the things that we can to avoid harmful situations, environmental or what have you, and then do the good things. Well, it's one thing to get up to wherever we can go doing that, but what if we could add something beyond that using some very, very simple intervention techniques based on the research of our guest? The book is called Avoiding the First Cause of Death, Can We Live Longer and Better? Dr. Wolf Droke will be our guest in the second hour talking about those particular ideas and the concepts that he's evolved as a world-renowned researcher in the area. So that's going to be a very, very interesting program. I think it's going to be fun. As I said, though, clay is a fascinating substance. It's obviously something that has been used for as long as humans have been on this planet. Its use and application as the kind of the science of and the pharmacology of medicine evolved found itself taking a back seat to those kinds of pharmaceutical advances. But now that we're taking a look at those kinds of natural substances that offer us an insight as to how our ancestors were able to care for themselves in the past and re-examine that wisdom, we're looking at clay again in different ways. Well, not only in different ways, but in ways that show how it can augment some of the practical things that we do on a daily basis to stay healthy. And as I said, I was struck by information that came out not too long ago. It was actually research done in South China where they found that the first animal fossils were preserved in ancient lake deposits, not in marine sediments, as has been commonly assumed in the past. But what was interesting was that they were contained in a substance called smectite, which is a type of clay, and which actually I think evolves into other clays. But to be more precise, we're going to have to ask our special guest today just what significance that might hold. Perry Arledge is the author of the book Living Clay and also has the Living Clay Company. Living Clay is nature's own miracle cure, and she deals in something called calcium bentonite clay, both because of fascinating interest and because of her own experience in using clay to help her with her own situations in life. She's a motivational speaker, a woman who has, well, lifted herself up by her own bootstraps and has been able to forge an interesting alliance to help people understand just how clay can be used on a daily basis to make us, to keep us healthy, and to, in some cases, make us even healthier because of certain situations that we may be encountering. So Perry Arledge, again, our special guest again and from the Living Clay Company. Perry, thank you again for joining us. Nice to have you again.
Thank you, Carrie. I'm looking forward to this hour.
How are things in the great state of Texas?
Well, it's a little bit hot here, but that's Texas.
That's Texas, and that's the summertime, right?
That's Texas in August. Now, we complain about it, but it happens every year.
Well, and if it didn't happen, if you weren't around to have it happen, you'd be somewhere maybe you don't want to be at this point. So who knows?
Right.
So, Perry, fill me in here. I know this kind of relative to this article, but smectite, isn't that a type of clay?
Smectite is the family of clay that bentonites belong to, and it is the dominant family of clays that are known as your healing clays. There are like seven different families of clays, and your smectite is the primary clay that your calcium, sodium bentonites, and montmorillonites come from.
Now, as I remember things that you've told me about clay in the past, this is very interesting to me because you say that clay can absorb and adsorb, and smectite in particular, I know, has been the focus of a lot of attention because of its unique structure and its ability to attract toxins from the body.
Yes. It has a very strong negative ionic charge from the volcano when it was burst as an ash. And the beauty of clay is it's inert. All the impurities have been burned out. It's a very inert product, very safe. However, it's capable of change. That's why we call it living clay. And much of the research going on now attributes even more that clay may have been a precursor in the formation of primordial cells life, like you were talking about. You know, I first learned about clay through the experiential side of trying it, but then you get fascinated with the subject and just keep reading and studying and trying to understand how this little simple product does what it does. And it just sucks you right into a lifelong research. I can't get enough of it.
Well, not only can you not get enough of it, but obviously people want to know more because you become such a fountainhead of information and a resource in this whole area. But tell me, what essentially is the difference between clay and dirt?
Well, clay is volcanic ash. Dirt is soil, mud, so to speak. But dirt is organic. It can decompose. It changes. You know, But clay is inert. Everything harmful has been burnt out of the clay. And it was thrown forth and landed in these inland lakes and rivers and made these, over millions of years, these deposits, these sedimentary deposits. And it has this high negative ion that gives it this strong drawing ability. It's just like a magnet looking for positive, and toxins and chemicals have a positive charge to them. So it's just like a magnet. It just sucks it in. And because the clay, the elements in the clay, the minerals are all bound tightly together, they make up a formation of a stack of little business cards. But when they swell, they adsorb and absorb, this expansion takes place. And the molecular structure is a tetrahedral layer, which is like little triangles all through there. And then in the middle, an octahedral layer, which is octagon shapes. Well, the toxins get drawn into these little layers and into this chemical formation, and it's just like they get stuck in there. They're imprisoned because the electrical charge around it is so strong, and it merely carries us out of the body. I mean, it's so simple in how it works, and yet it's so complicated in how it does it.
So it's kind of like it's a beacon in a sense, and it just draws them into a kind of a, as you said, an octagonal type prison, and keeps them from leaving.
Yes, yeah, that's the beauty of clay. There are a lot of products that have absorbing potential, but to absorb it and hold it and not break down again is the beauty of clay.
Now, how many different types of clays are there?
Oh, there are thousands of different types of clays. Every deposit is different. Every vein of clay you run into, it may be all smectites, but each one will be different in their mineral composition and therefore their ability, their strength. And the minerals in the clay play on each other. It's like you need one that's a little higher in magnesium than calcium. Calcium and magnesium also have a ratio, always have a ratio of working together, but the magnesium needs to be higher to allow the absorption of the calcium. And it gets into chemistry so deep that it can boggle the mind. Chemists, scientists, everyone is fascinated by this process. And what you've discovered in this article is that what they discovered in these deposits of fossils in China was that these fossils were in a clay bed. And I talked to Dr. Martin Kennedy, Martin Kennedy, at the University of California, Riverside, who did this research. And he said what they discovered was the first cellular life forms were beginning to appear at the same time the clay deposits appeared. So they think the clay was instrumental in producing oxygen because that's what was lacking in forming cellular life on Earth, multicellular life. They were missing the oxygen component. And so the clay was instrumental in producing the oxygen due to the breakdown of microbials. And like I say, I'm getting chemical here on you. Don't want to get too scientific.
Well, I don't care if you get too scientific. I just want to understand it. So you're saying that the clay was actually participating in breaking down microbes that then released oxygen?
Yes. Yes. There have been several studies done. Alexander Carnes-Smith, in his book, Clay, Minerals, and the Origin of Earth, had a theory on that, too. And it just goes on, and it so plays into this new research that we found.
All right.
And how clay is biotransmutation. It's Lewis Kearns. Now, this is an interesting story that sort of simplifies it, and I may have shared this with you once before, but it bears repeating. Lewis Kearns was a French scientist, and he was ahead of his time, and he did work on biological transmutation, how microbials can work together to change and form something else. And he wrote a piece about a shrimp that lived in clay. And it had been known for a long time that living organisms inhabit clay without any organic supply of food from the outside. And this boggled the scientists' mind because there's no biological way that they could live on just clay and water and get any nutrients from it. Yet when they took the shrimp out of the clay caves and they tried to feed them protein and other things, they died. But they put them back in the clay and they survived. So experiments have shown that it grows normally in pure clay to which nothing has been added, just clay and water. And what they've discovered is that the clay contains microorganisms that work for the shrimp, making vitamins and various mineral products, nitrogen and phosphorus and calcium, so that was enabled it to maintain life for the shrimp.
So the shrimp really was living off the other microorganisms that were, in a sense,
yes,
growing their food.
And there's another theory there, too, that the shrimp may have had some enzymes that broke down the clay to form peptide chains and protein.
Well, something was going on. Hold that thought. Perry Arledge, our special guest, as you can see, there's a lot to be discussed when it comes to clay and its use, potential use, as a healing substance, a cleansing substance for human beings who obviously have learned how to use it over the millennia. I'm Kerry Nosler. You're listening to The Wide World of Health. This is Talk 650 KSTE. We'll be right back. You stay tuned.
Think for yourself. Talk 650 KSTE. This is The Wide World of Health with Kerry Nosler, brought to you by Sunrise Natural Foods. Talk 650 KSTE. Here again, Kerry Nosler.
Kerry Nosler here with you on The Wide World of Health for this very, very nice summer Sunday. Thanking you so much for joining us today. We're talking about clay. Perry Arledge, our special guest today. Living Clay, the name of her book, and Living Clay Company, the organization that helps distribute the kinds of clays that Perry is most fond of. And we're talking about clay's relationship to life on this planet and the fact that actually there are some creatures that can survive by being surrounded by clay. But, you know, it's kind of interesting, Perry, the way you talked about the minerals that are held in the clay, I mean, they serve as a kind of a magnet, as you might say, because of their particular charge in drawing other substances in. But you don't necessarily, even though there's calcium, magnesium, and all kinds of minerals, you don't necessarily get those minerals from the clay if we take them in, if humans do absorb them, do we?
No. Clay, the minerals in clay are sort of like the ingredients in a cake. You don't see the egg. The egg isn't broken out. It's all in there together, and it makes up what you call the clay molecule. And it's said that clay holds its integrity, so it keeps its minerals. And the minerals are not broken down into minerals that are absorbed by the body necessarily. However, this energy in the clay and this ability for it to biotransmutate, to make changes with other microbials and microorganisms and enzymes, give it such an ability to affect the whole body in a positive way. This is the fascinating part of it. We're talking about clay now, and we haven't told people that clay is actually an alternative healing agent. And part of this whole chemical, it's when I talk about clay, we're talking about trace minerals. Everything has been burned out of Mother Earth except the pure trace minerals in their inert form. So that's why the FDA doesn't pay any attention to clay, and they've given it a gross ruling, generally guarded it safe, because it's inert and they consider it very safe. People have been using it since the beginning of time, and animals in the wild find clay, and if they eat poison berries or something or get sick, they will find a clay waller and go and eat the clay and roll in it for the healing aspects. And taking it, it acts as a cleansing agent. When you take it internally, it scarfs up any toxins that are floating around in there, carries them out of the body, and it also acts as a cleanse, to cleanse the lower bowel so you can get more vitamins from the vitamins you take. Now, the dominant minerals in clay, your calcium, your phosphorus, your potassium, your magnesium, these are called the dominant minerals. They're in a high percentage. Most minerals in clay are in parts per million. These are capable because of their dominance. It is capable of throwing off a calcium into the body and taking on a positive charged element in its place. But it's not an amount to suffice as a supplement. And yet, people take clay and have for anemia. It helps enrich the blood, and yet it's not absorbed into the blood. So again, we talk about the mystery of this clay and how it works and how fascinating it is.
Now, I suspect that our ancestors probably, you know, coming from a less than sterile environment in the past where, you know, who knew what you were picking up and things, I would suspect that might have been one of the very basic uses of clay in the beginning, having watched the animals or whatever, to take this to make sure that they didn't get sick from anything that was around them.
Oh, yes. Oftentimes they would make little clay balls and carry with them to where if they did get sick, they would eat this for medicinal reasons. And, of course, the medicine men used it to apply. I have an interesting story lately of a broken leg on an animal that healed in 5 days. The lady had a small woodchuck, and it broke its ankle, and she picked it up, and a leg was just dangling. And she mixed up some clay solution, and the minute she dipped him into the clay solution, the thick clay, he stopped squirming and squealing. The pain went away. And she kept dipping the leg and coating it in clay. And, of course, it got injured on the weekend when the vet was closed, and there was no way she could set it. It wouldn't hold still and let her touch it. So she just dipped him in clay and put him in his cage, and 3 times a day she dipped him in the soupy clay mix, and he licked a little of it off. But in 5 days she took his cage outside just to get him a little sunshine, and he started climbing up the side of the cage, and the leg was healed.
I'm sure that little animal was very happy about the use of clay at that particular point. You brought up another area then of application. That would be external application.
Yes.
Clays have been used for millennia as well as an application for different skin disorders.
Oh, it's wonderful on any kind of skin disorders. Clay just has an ability to go in there and soothe and clear it up. Even taking it internally will help clear up acne and skin rashes. But externally, it takes the irritation down. It pulls the infection out. It'll pull gangrene out. You can take it internally for food poisoning. It's hard to find something Clay doesn't work on. There are a few things. But generally, what it does is speed up the healing process. When you take the clay, this electromagnetic energy, when you start taking it, it resonates with all the cells of the body on a very subtle, gentle layer. It stimulates cellular response, so it reactivates dormant cells we have in the body so they can go about the process of healing, which is what they do. And it pulls toxins out. It pulls blood flow. It stimulates blood flow and oxygen to an area. And that helps speed the healing process also.
Does the color of clay affect its healing property? Because there are all different
kinds
of colors.
There are all different colors of clay. And like I said, each clay is like a fingerprint. They're all different. No two clays are alike. All the deposits are different. So it helps to really know your clay and understand them. And a lot of times it's trial and error. You can just try one and you can tell it doesn't have a drawing power or a pulling power, just putting some on topically, how it dries and sticks and holds and pulls. If it really tightens the skin and feels like concrete and you can't move the area, you know you've got a good, strong clay.
Now, I suspect, as you said, because they're originally of volcanic origin, and they're bringing up these minerals and trace minerals, especially from deep within the bowels of the earth, things that would normally be kind of hard to find.
Yes, and, you know, the earth is pretty well depleted of minerals. There was an article recently in the National Geographic with women in Haiti. The soil in Haiti, because they've chopped down the rainforest, the soil is washed away and there are just no minerals and they can't get any vitamins. And the pregnant women make clay patties and they mix them with a little grease, I guess Crisco or something, and they dry them in the sun. And then they eat them. And there was a lady making these and selling them at the market just to help people with food and nutrition. So, like you say, your native and your aborigine knows the value of clay.
Well, it probably doesn't show up on the RDA as far as clay and Crisco, but we'll talk more about some of the properties of clay with Perry Arledge, our special guest. I'm Kerry Nosler. You are listening to The Wide World of Health. This is Talk 650 KSTE. Don't forget, we're being streamed live on the Internet right at this very moment. If you know someone who'd like to be hearing this show, you can let them know. It's possible to do that. We'll be right back with more. Stay tuned.
Think for yourself. Talk 650 KSTE. This is The Wide World of Health with Kerry Nosler, brought to you by Sunrise Natural Foods. Talk 650 KSTE. Here again, Kerry Nosler.
Yes, indeed, Kerry Nosler here. Thank you for being with us as well on The Wide World of Health. Perry Arledge, our special guest. We're talking about her specialty, her passion, and that is clay and all the different ways that clay not only has been used in the past, but also present ways that we can apply this substance as well. Understanding the properties of clay, different kinds of clay, of course, very, very important to this whole process. But truthfully, Perry, we are starting to use it for our own purposes internally and externally, but isn't the bulk of all the clays on this planet being used for different commercial purposes right now?
Yes, most of them are used industrially, and it's kind of a shame. There's some really good clays going out there for oil well muds, asphalt, slurries, a lot of your sodium bentonites, which I'm not a proponent of for a healing clay because it's so high in sodium. These are used in making plastic and paints. When you make them, mix them up, they're very gel-like. They're kind of like a glob. They're not as smooth as your bentonites, your calcium bentonites. But they use them industrially in any number of ways. And, of course, there's the pottery clay, which is called a ball clay. It's a totally different type of clay that they use for sculpting. So it's very important to know your clays if you're looking for a clay to take internally. And that's where the book comes in handy, because I tried to explain what to look for and uses for the clay as well.
Right, and the particular one you're talking about is the calcium bentonite. But a little question, though. I mean, you said you don't recommend sodium bentonite clays, but for the most part, as you said, those minerals aren't going to be used. So what difference does it make if there's sodium or calcium if really that's not going to be something the body's going to take up?
Well, the sodium, when you have a high percentage of sodium, and some of the sodium bentonites will have 10, 12, 14, maybe even higher percent sodium, it interacts with the other minerals, and it also, that is one of the minerals, if it's that dominant, that's thrown off into the body. So you're getting more sodium into the body. But primarily the sodium interacts, all these minerals interact together. And some clays, the living clay is a clay that is slightly swelling. So it gives you more drawing power because it expands and there's more room to pull the toxins in. And the sodiums, on the other hand, they may be okay for clay baths, but they're so thick and gummy and gooey, I just don't see them as a dominant, prominent healing clay. We'll leave those for the industrial purposes, for making plastics and paints and things.
All right, so you mentioned bathing. Now, that's an interesting application. So you can actually put clay in the bathtub and soak in it?
Clay baths are becoming ever more popular. People are getting such good results with them in detoxing. Now, when we can't filter out the toxins in our body, they get stored in the soft tissues and the joints of the body. And many people with mercury fillings are beginning to feel the effect of that. It was more than the kidney and the liver had time to filter out and clean off and get out of our system. So they store it in the soft tissues. Clay's drawing power is so powerful that a clay bath, where you really submerge in some hot water with 1 to 2 cups of clay in the bath water, it will draw through the pores of the skin. The hot water opens the pores, and the clay will literally draw the toxins out. And we have several groups. We have some wonderful testimonials from mothers with children with autism, how the clay baths have relaxed them, and they get more eye contact. Their communication skill increase, and they can just see an immediate change from taking the clay baths. And so many of them have had these vaccinations and have a lot of the side effects of the vaccinations, and so it's pulling these products. We have several people who have tested themselves before and after taking clay baths and have results with it, removing the metals, the heavy metals.
Well, good. I was wondering about that, if you had any actual clinical data to prove, for instance, that if you had a test, a tissue damage or a tissue analysis, and you had so much level of lead, for example, and you took baths for a period of time, it lowered the lead or the mercury or the nickel or cadmium.
We have one lady who had a hair analysis test, had done it before and afterwards. She had tried all types of chelation products and was never able to get her heavy metals down. And she sent us the hair analysis test after she had been taking clay baths and taking the clay internally for about 2 months. And she dropped 20% or better in her heavy metals, which was the first progress she had seen. We had another lady who took clay baths 2 or 3 times a week. Once you start taking them, you love them for other reasons, too. It makes your skin so soft. It takes out soreness out of your muscles. It relaxes people. They can sleep better just from taking the clay internally as well as a clay bath. But after a clay bath, you're just puddled and ready to pour in the bed, and you talk about a good night's sleep. So
how much clay are you normally putting in a bathtub if you're taking it or using it that way?
We recommend, if you're detoxing and you're concerned with heavy metals, 2 cups of clay. And we just made a video, and you can find it on YouTube. Google or look for living clay mixing directions, and it shows how to mix the clay for a clay bath and how to mix it for liquid. And they're very easy directions on how to do it, but we wanted to show people how simple it was. Now, if you're just doing maintenance work and you're just maybe wanting to take some just to relax, a muscle relax, maybe you worked out in the garden and overdid it, your muscles are sore. A lot of tennis players that come in and take a clay bath after they play tennis to get the soreness out of their muscles.
How long do you stay in the bath?
15 to 20 minutes is a good time. And if you have a real hot bath, you want to be sure and drink water before and afterwards to rehydrate yourself. Because the heat, it's like being in a hot tub. They tell you don't stay in longer than 15 or 20 minutes if the temperature is very hot because it just drains your electrolytes.
Wow. You know, when I was in Germany several years ago, the Europeans love to take the different kind of mineral baths and, you know, go to the spas and do those kind of things. And some of the clays or earth, different types of volcanic earths that would be used in the tub, they would actually use them for another time. They'd let the water drain, and then they would just keep the minerals in the tub and fill them up and use them again.
You know, I really don't see any harm in that for using it for a couple of times. Reason being is clay absorbs so much more than its molecular size or its molecular weight. A gram of clay will absorb, a surface area will cover a surface area of 800 meters, which is about a fourth of a football field.
That's a lot more than most people's skin surface area, that's for sure.
Right. So it suffices, and a lot of people just think that's horrible, but here's the beauty of it. The clay that's absorbed toxins is going to hold it. So,
that's why
the clay hasn't had a chance to do it. Now, I had a mother the other day with an autistic child, and she got real creative. First of all, trying to keep her kids in the bathtub for 20 minutes was difficult. So she got one of these big tubs, a 40-gallon tub at Walmart, and filled it with the clay water. And they sit in there, and the water comes up high to the chest, so their lymph glands are exposed into the water, too. And they play in there. She gives them some toys, and it's like a little swimming pool, kids' swimming pool. Hmm. So I thought that was very creative. And in that case, you don't need to use quite as much clay. The clay goes to the volume of water. So if you have a smaller container that's shorter and deeper and thicker, you don't need quite as much clay.
That makes sense. That makes sense. Plus, I'm going to say, if you're using 1 to 2 cups of clay, I mean, you're taking a bath every week or a couple of times a week, that's a lot of clay over a period of time.
You're going to have to. That is, and we have testimonials, too, that a lot of people think it's improved. They normally have plumbing problems. But since using the clay baths and rinsing it down their pipes, they haven't had the plumber out all year, where normally they have a plumber out twice a year.
Well, I can just see you in a commercial now for plumbing your pipes. We'll talk more about clay. Perry Arledge, our special guest, a clay expert extraordinaire. The book is called Living Clay, Nature's Own Miracle Cure, Calcium Bentonite Clay. We'll be back with one more segment on the Wide World of Health. Karen Nosler here with you. Talk 650 KSTE, Wide World of Health. We'll be right back.
Think for yourself. Talk 650 KSTE. This is the Wide World of Health with Carrie Nosler, brought to you by Sunrise Natural Foods. Talk 650 KSTE. Here again, Carrie Nosler.
Yes, indeed, Carrie Nosler here with you. Perry Arledge, our special guest on the first hour of the Wide World of Health, a clay expert, author of the book Living Clay, and the president of the Living Clay Company. I want to make something clear for myself and people who might be listening, Perry, because you were talking about clays. Wonderful ability now, obviously, to draw in toxins and heavy metals and those kinds of things. But how does it distinguish, for instance, between a heavy metal, the valence of a heavy metal, a nickel, a cadmium, lead, and so forth, and magnesium or potassium or, you know, iron? How do you make sure it just takes in the ones you don't want and make sure that your body can use the ones you do want?
Well, it's the negative charge on it, and the Indians always said clay had a wisdom of its own. It knows where to go and what to work on, and that's the theory I like to go by because it's easier in trying to explain how it works. But it really does know where to go and what to work on. the lab test that we have on the detoxing of heavy metals is on the About Clay site. There's an educational informational site only called aboutclay.com, and it has her analysis there so you can see the before and after results.
Okay.
Lots of articles there that tell you about clay and selecting clay and detoxing and clay baths, and it's strictly an informational site.
That's aboutclay.com?
Aboutclay.com, yes. Hmm.
Okay, who
There's
runs that site?
There's even an article on septic tanks and using clay.
Oh, my goodness, my goodness. Okay, well, that's fantastic. So, again, choosing the right clay is important. You've stressed this over and over again. You do it in your book as well. In order to help people make the right choices. And how the clay is processed, is that a word we can use with clay? I mean, it's already there. What do you have to do?
It's milled, but you want a clay that has been kept clean. You want a company that's going to lab test their clays and make sure it's free of E. coli, any fecal contamination, and any high amounts of microbials or fungus or virus. So some of the sites will have laboratory tests they do on their clay.
Okay, now would that come about, though, those contaminants, the things that were around the clay? I mean, the clay itself wouldn't have those, right?
No, but, you know, our earth is so polluted now, it falls into a lot of clays and it gets in the water, it gets carried into it. So it's important that they do that to make sure. The living clay company tests theirs periodically.
Got it. And you talk about, again, using clay and putting in the bath and so forth. When you take clay, you talk about mixing it up, but obviously you can do that to add water to it and a certain preparation. I think that YouTube site also shows people how to do that. But
if you just take it, make a liquid concentrate, and you can just drink about 1 ounce of it.
But if you don't do that, I mean, and you're drinking water or liquid when you take the clay, wouldn't that kind of rehydrate it itself?
It comes in a very powdered form. Clay is like flour. It packs when it gets wet. So you want to put it in something and shake it up and make sure it gets all emulsified within the mix.
What if you added it to a drink, a smoothie or something, and you blended it up?
You can add it to a smoothie. In fact, there are recipes on the About Clay site for putting it in smoothies and even cooking with it. I made a pot of chili one day, and there was grease standing there, and I poured some liquid clay in, and it absorbed all the grease. And it's one of the ways I think it lowers people's cholesterol.
Ah, well, that would be very, very interesting, and I suspect probably people did do that in the past to kind of help make the food more usable and such. So tell me about you obviously turned this passion into a business. You started the Living Clay Company. I suspect that was a very interesting adventure for you.
Well, it was. Someone said you need to share it, and so we did, and the clay has been selling itself, and we've just been holding on to the kite tail ever since. Once they try it and experience it, they just fall in love with it.
And the website, so you'd mentioned about clay, but what is the website for your company?
Okay. And Carrie, we would like to offer your customers a free book, a Living Clay book, with a $25 purchase of anything from the Living Clay site. And that site is livingclayco.com. Be sure and put the CO on there, livingclayco.com. And the code name, if they'll write Nosler in at the checkout, there's a place for a coupon code. They type Nosler in if they order online, or if they want to wait and call in the next week and just say the word Nosler, they'll get a free book with a $25 purchase. And they do sell cosmeceuticals, too. Everything they sell has clay in it.
All right, so they don't have it. I mean, they could get it. They could go on the website. They could read the material. They could listen to the show again if they want and kind of make up their mind at another point if they decide they just wanted to get more information.
Right.
Okay, good. I like that because sometimes we like to digest information and make sure that
And that's where the aboutclay.com site is so valuable, too.
All right, so you've been able to have the basic clay that you can use for baths. You can mix it up in water, take it internally, blend it in a smoothie. Uh, you, you cosmetics as well? Do you do the cosmetics yourself, or do you just kind of formulate it and someone does it for you?
We have a formulation company that's made an all natural cosmeceuticals, and to that we add the clay and water and sometimes a little essence, mostly clay and water. We add to it. They make a concentrated base, and we searched a long time to find a natural company. All the ingredients are plant origin.
All right, so it's not going to stick, though. I mean, if you're talking about putting clay on it and it gets hard and such, I obviously had to make sure that didn't happen if you have it in a cosmetic product.
In the cosmetic product, what it does is it keeps the cosmetics on your arm. Your arm feels like velvet. The face cream, your skin stays soft all day long. It's just miraculous. Now, we do have just a straight jar of clay mud that you can do a facial with. Now, that's going to dry like concrete. It'll pull. It's great. And we have a lot of people washing their hair with it because it gives their hair body. Huh. They're complaining of very thin, fine hair, and they're washing their hair with it and just loving that they now have thickness to their hair. And the new word out is to rinse with vinegar water.
Well,
and it would give a shine back to it. So
my great
we just keep finding more and more uses for this clay. It's just absolutely amazing.
Super. All right. That sounds good. Again, the website, again, Living Clay Company, CO. Make sure you do that, right? LivingClayCompany.com?
Yes. And that's a free book. Use the code word Nosler.
All right. Sounds good. And what if people just wanted to call you?
Let me give you a number. It's 1-800. Let me give you my direct line. It's 512-262-7187.
512-262-7187.
And I'd be happy to answer anybody's questions or talk about clay. I love talking about clay, as you can tell.
Well, I can tell. Well, I appreciate that, Perry. You've been a great guest, as always, and I wish you well in your endeavors and getting more and more information about clay to help folks in the process, livingclaycompany.com. Thank you, Perry. Perry, I appreciate it very much, and we'll look forward to talking to you again. Perry Arledge, our special guest on this hour of the Wide World of Health. We come back, we're going to talk about, well, something called avoiding the first cause of death. Well, that sounds like a very, very positive and logical thing to do. We'll find out why the next hour of the Wide World of Health. Carrie Nosler here with you. Talk 650 KSTE.